Okay. My name is Riley, and I'm an addict. And I want to say good morning to everybody. You know, it's really, you know, every time I come to this convention, and this is like my 13th convention, I always come to the Sunrise meetings, and I always hang out in the marathon groups. And, you know, I wanted to start out by saying that because, you know, recovery is something that I've come to realize you have to kind of work at, right? When I first got here, people were talking about, you know, just keep coming back and, you know, this thing, you know, happened by osmosis, right? You just, you know, just keep showing up. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, dreams do come true. And the theme for this year is really, really, really special to me. You know, it's just like the sunrise here. You know, if anybody has any problem or doubt about good orderly direction or what some of us call God, then I want you to watch the sunrise, you know, because it's really, really, really hype. It accentuates this moving body here that's living called the ocean, you know, and I love it. Every year I come down here, you know, it's my period to kind of get involved with a word that also goes along with dreams do come true, and that is peace, right? But anyway, just to tell you a little bit about myself, I want to qualify myself. I first started using drugs when I was 12, right? And I originally came from a place called Harlem, which is located in in New York City, and in the borough of Manhattan. My first mood-altering drug was Ripple, which was a form of wine. And it was more like, you know, when I drank it, man, I mean, for me, it was like the biggest thing I could say is my mood was changed. And, you know, I knew from that point that spirits and the use of drugs was going to be something that was going to kind of stay with me. And as you can hear, I'm really, really, really kind of nervous. I'm trying to calm down. But, you know, I tell you, man, this ocean, this atmosphere, all you people, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man, it's just having an effect on me that's like indescribable. But anyway, going on. Following that, ultimately, you know, I lived to use and used to live. And as time went by, I moved on to other substances, you know, marijuana, heroin. My drug of choice at the end, 1988, was crack cocaine. And I thank God today for crack cocaine. Crack cocaine brought me to a point that I never thought I would be. You know, I was attending Howard University, which was in Washington, D.C. I was one credit away from getting a master's degree. And my addiction got to the point where, you know, I couldn't go on with the regular things that I was doing, right? And ultimately, I lost my job, lost my family, and found myself living in a shelter, Second and D shelter. Stayed there for approximately 2.5 years. When I first got there, only thing I really could talk about was Socrates, Plato, and the Civil War. I would go to meetings, and I would raise my hand, and people would call on me, and I would tell them that, you know, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Socrates was a wonderful person, and that Plato was very, very, very important in the history of the world, right? And they would say, okay, great. Do you have anything else to say? And I say, I just want to tell all you people that, you know, I'm just glad that y'all let me come to class. And they would say, fine, keep coming back. You're right in the right place. And, you know, that went on for about 60 days. I was in this mode, you know, and a guy who, God rest his soul, just recently died, right? He came to me one day, and basically what he told me was, he said, man, he said, listen, he said, like, I have something I want to tell you. He said, I'm not really, it's probably going to hurt your feelings, but, you know, I think you need to hear this. So I said, you know, what is that? He said, man, shut the fuck up. You know, if we want to hear about Socrates or Plato or any history, believe me, it's not going to come from you. And the best thing that you could do is stay here, because you are very, very, very sick. And he went on to tell me that if you keep coming to the meetings, man, you know, things will get better. This guy, he took me, he set me at a place in the front of this room, in this recovery house that I was in at the time, man. Basically, what he told me to do was, he told me to sit there, and, you know, at the start of the meeting, he had me set up the chairs and everything. You know, at the end of the meeting, he had me take down the chairs. He told me, he said, don't raise your hand or don't say anything until I tell you to say it, right? And ultimately, that was my life for approximately 2 years. I would go back to 2nd and D shelter. I had a cubicle there that I stayed in. I had Lefty with me, who was the basic guy that sold wine in the shelter. Had another guy on the left-hand side in a cubicle. He talked to himself. And it was the gentleman that was directly across from my cubicle that sold hot jewelry. And we stayed together for a period of time, right? And basically what I learned was that I wasn't that bad of a guy. I started getting in touch with the idea that meeting makers make it. Got in touch with that. And ultimately I found my way to a halfway house. It was like a, really, technically what it was an Oxford house. But anyway, I stayed there for approximately 5 years. And let me tell you a little bit about this house. When I first got there, it was basically, the guys that were there, all of them had one thing in common. Most of them were gay. And when I first got there, they basically told me that, you know, in order for me to stay there, I would have to stay in this room. And the room downstairs, the whole house was pink, by the way. They had decided that the interior of the house would be pink. And so, you know, they said, you have any problem with this? So I said, nah. So they gave me a room in the basement, and I stayed there in that room for, you know, about 2 years. And basically, what I learned there was that if you do keep coming back, things will get better. In the process of staying there, I had a chance to work on a lot of things that today we call character defects. But for me, they are principles and guidelines that I realized that, were things that I had to learn how to live by. The biggest one was being honest, right? I had to get in touch with the idea that I had a lot of issues, you know. And one of my big issues was, people. I had a problem with places, and I had a whole bunch of problems with things, right? And in the process of staying there, you know, I ultimately was able to get back in school. And in the process of being in school, I found out that, you know, the program on Alcoholics Anonymous is one that the principles that I was given. The biggest one that stood out was consistency, right? Maintaining consistency and being focused on doing the things that I knew that would cause me to be and stay stable, right? And as I kept on moving on and focusing on change, I got in touch with the idea I had to have some courage, right? I had to stay honest. I had to deal with a lot of acceptance. And most of all, I had to stay focused on my needs, right? The program of Alcoholics Anonymous for me has taught me that, you know, if I don't continue to go to meetings, stay focused on family and change, right, that things aren't going to get any better. This weekend has been good for me because, you know, I had an opportunity to come down with my family. I have a daughter who's 31, a grandbaby who's 6, and a son who's 13. And when I first was coming down here, I had planned to, you know, make this weekend a bonding weekend. And basically what happened was my wife explained to me that she wasn't going to be able to come down because she had to work, right? And it really, really, really upset me, you know. And I talked to a few people about it in the fellowship, and basically what I was told, you know, was that I still needed to come down anyway. So I did. And one thing that I found out was that, man, family is very, very, very important. And dreams do come true. From being a bum living in the shelter in 1988 to 2005 right now, my life has changed drastically, you know. Today I work professionally as a distance counselor in Washington, D.C. I was able to continue my education at Howard University. I ultimately got a master's degree in urban studies. And again, dreams do come true. I was able as a result of that, boy, I'm cold. I was able as a result of that to work in the field of addictions, in which right now I've been working as a substance abuse counselor. I'm also a director of a substance abuse program in Maryland, the Renaissance Treatment Center. And working with addicts, man, has given me a whole new view on exactly what life is about. You know, the idea that each one teaches one, and that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, and the importance of sharing honestly with people and being able to accept people right where they're at is something that, you know, I've come to really, really, really understand as a result of recovery. As you can see, I'm warming up a little bit. The steps, right? The steps is the program. When I first got here, as I said earlier, you know, I really, really, really believed that, you know, just coming back was the thing that people needed to do in order to get this program. But I'm here to tell you right now that it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It's not really about just showing up to meetings. It's about understanding that, you know, things like sponsorship, somebody that has a working knowledge of the steps and that's focused on trying to make sure that people understand that the steps are a process, but the steps are tools and guides to progress. It's real important to stay focused on that. For me, I really didn't understand what the program was about until my third year here, when I was able to find a sponsor that basically had a working knowledge of the steps. When I first got here, I was choosing people based on what I felt they represented. I wasn't focused on what they were saying. I was focused more so on what they appeared to represent. But in my third year, I ran into a guy that basically explained to me that the program was the steps, and that the first three steps, right, basically talked about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And that in order to stay here, right, I had to come to some type of understanding of exactly what honesty and what open-mindedness and what willingness meant. And that understanding would come when I actually sat down and did my first written step, which would be a fourth step. My fourth step was really kind of hard because for me, you know, telling the truth and being honest about the things that I've been trying to hide for so long were really, really, really difficult, you know. And today I really thank God that every 2 years, you know, I'm able to revisit my fourth step, right? Because it's important to understand that this program right here is a program of progress. And it's important to be able to see your progress. And for me, that's what I get every time I sit down with my sponsor and do the steps, right? Especially the fourth step. The largest thing that I'm working with today is accepting that the program of Narcotics Anonymous, right, is one that keeps you in touch with the need to be open-minded and be willing to accept people exactly where they're at. And the program that I work in, I've come to find that, man, it's just so many things that I need to work on. The biggest one is coming to terms with the importance of people and basically having a better understanding of exactly what life I am just too cold. Charles, I need you to come up here and speak, man. You know, you want to step in? Go ahead, step in and speak, man.
Good
I'm
job,
just too
good
cold.
Job,
I'm trying. All I'm right. trying. Yeah.
Let me see that one.
Go ahead.
Thank Riley and give him a hand for doing a good job. And I'm Charles. I'm an addict. And I'm going to try to get us through another 15 minutes. And first of all, you know, I am blown away just from where I'm at. To be able to look at the beach, the water, the sand, and the sky, and understand that it ain't no mistake. And it's all by plan and design. And at this stage in my life and in my recovery, to be able to see where I fit in all of this. Because, you know, this is a big thing, man, and it can blow you away, and it has blown me away. And I just thank God for it today. I thank God for it. And I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's through Narcotics Anonymous that I've met God. You know, and I'm all right with that. Now, just so you understand, you know, this is my 15th convention, and I didn't get to Narcotics Anonymous talking about God. You know what I mean? I didn't get to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, trying to understand my place in all of this. You know, matter of fact, prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I have a religious sister. She's into religion. And I was into, armed robbery, you know, distribution of narcotics, you know what I mean? You know, shot a lot of narcotics, smoked a lot of crack cocaine, and I was into things like that. So ultimately, those kind of things led me to institutions. And the reason I brought that up, my sister was into religion, and she would always try to help me, and she couldn't help me. You know, and I would always call home, and it got to the point I got so upset with her trying to help me that I began to try to hurt her. And I would try to hurt her by saying things that I know would make her cringe. You know, I would call home. Now, all I wanted was a money order. But I would wind up telling her, send me books about the devil. Don't tell me about your damn God. We would wind up arguing on the phone. You know what I mean? And I meant that. I ain't want to have nothing to do with God. You know what I mean? Because that's where I was at that time. But today, I'm here to let you all know that dreams do come true. And I'm in touch with the whole thing because I'm a guy who've been able to, through God's grace and Not Cause Anonymous, live out most of my dreams. You know, I'm living today better than I could ever have thought or planned it out. I couldn't have planned it out no better than it's going. Now, I don't have a lot of time to get into how I got to this point in the steps. Riley mentioned the steps, sponsorship, going to a lot of meetings. But, man, the end result for right now, and understand this, just for today, it couldn't be no better. I can't think of no place right now that I would want to be than where I'm at right now. You know what I mean? This is it for me. You know, and mind you, you know, I can look back over the 15 years and I could even not have even dreamed that it would work out the way that it has. You know, I got a grandson up in the room right now, 5 years old. He's my riding buddy. I mean, I brought him down here, just me and him. And we came down here, you know, and man, it couldn't be no better. You know, my wife, she didn't want to come. She's not in the Narcotics Anonymous. And I thank God for her today, you know. And mind you, I'm just talking about today because I don't know what tomorrow had to bring for me. But through this program, man, I've been able to really have a real good marriage. I've been married 5 years, and it wasn't my idea to get married, and it wasn't by chance. I really believe in my heart that this was God's will for me. You know, I met my wife when I was in the seventh grade, and we've been together 35 years, been married 5 years, and had you told me 15 years ago when I got to Narcotics Anonymous that would be the woman that I would marry, I would say, man, you people must lost y'all mind. We weren't even speaking at the time. And it wasn't my desire to marry this woman at the time. You know, but through this program, you know, I found, man, that everything that I could ever think of or dream of, it just took me to just sit still and keep doing what I learned to do in here, and that God would prepare the solution for me. You know, it ain't nothing I planned out. I couldn't have planned it like this. There's no way I could have planned it like this. You know, I think about my wife today, and I'm going to tell you, you know, I couldn't have planned it no better. You know, through all that pain, and I caused my wife a lot of pain, you know, I caused a lot of pain through all those years of doing the things I was doing, not being there, not only my wife, if I got a grandson, of course I got a child, you know what I mean, 27-year-old daughter, not being there, you know, not knowing how to be there, doing all the little things that we do, you know what I mean, hurting them emotionally, just continuously, you know what I mean? And here I am today, you know, God done pulled it all together for me, you know, and dreams still coming true for me, you know. I tell you, you know, and like Riley, man, it can blow you away. It really can blow you away. You know, I think about a lot of times, a lot of the material things that I have as a direct result of this program, and I try to weigh them out, and it's no weight to them. You know, it's no weight to them. You know, I can't put a price tag on my grandson, you know, calling me grandpa and having the relationship that I had with him today. You know, I can't put a price tag on that. You know, my daughter, you know, she's struggling with an addiction today. And I've learned to be a powerful example for her. You know, and I can't put a price tag on being able to be a powerful example for her. You know, I really believe, man, that God is doing this for a reason, man. You know, had you told me 15 years ago that my life would come together the way that it has, You know, I wouldn't have believed it. You know, again, you know, I try to stick with a day at a time because I know I had the ability to tear it all down. You know what I mean? I understand that today. You know, I know I'm one drink, one drug away from everything, you know, being just tore down. And I don't want that. So as a direct result of that, I continue to do, you know, what this program suggested I do. You know, I just recently retired. I'm 44 years old. Through God's grace, you know, I've worked 15 years. I never worked prior to getting here. Worked 15 years since being here. And as a direct result of hard work, determination, and luck, I'm going to put that out there, man. You know what I mean? You know, I was able to retire. And my wife, she hadn't worked for 2 years because 2 years prior to me retiring, she decided that she didn't have to work no more. You know what I mean? And that was fine with me because I've been blessed. You know, and but as a direct result of retiring, the insurance went away, so she decided to go back to work so she can insure me. Now, I'm a live-home guy, and she an outwork woman, and I'm just living home, raising my grandson. I couldn't have planned that. I couldn't have planned it no better than it's working out for me. You know, and the reality is, you know, God has a way of changing the picture. And I hope don't nobody get offended about me talking about God this morning. But he has a way of changing the picture right before your eyes. So I'd be real careful what I say, because tomorrow I might be right back to work. Yeah. You know what I mean? As a direct result of God changing the picture. And I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that. Because, you know, here's a guy, man, that, man, you know, this thing, man, you know, like I say, prior to 15 years ago, I wouldn't work in the pie factory. And for 15 years, I worked hard, and now I don't have to work no more. I mean, who would have thought, you know? So, you know, and, you know, the reality is a lot of the things that are happening in my life are dreams that I wasn't even capable of dreaming. There's no way I could have seen myself living the way I'm living today 15 years ago. I wouldn't even been able to dream these things, you know. And I know that it's not by mistake. You know, I really believe that you get out of this program what you put into it. I believe that today. And I have a lot of times, difficult time sharing about a lot of the material things because I want to, but at the same time, I know that it ain't the material things that's what I'm about. It's not the material things that's what I'm really about, you know, because I'm going to tell you like this. I can't put a price tag on him, man. I got a little guy up there, man, 5 years old, who loved me to death. And I'm able to spoil him and do the things for him that weren't done for me. And I don't have no issues about how I came up, what happened. As a direct result of the steps, I'm okay with all of it. I'm okay with all of it. You know what I mean? And it was a process. It ain't happened overnight. It was a process. There was a lot of things that I had to do, a lot of demons I had to face. You know what I mean? A lot of situations that I found myself in that got me to where I'm at today. You know, there were some decisions that I made, and I was able to make them as a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous, sponsorship, the steps, you know what I mean, helped me to make responsible decisions. And as a direct result of them decisions, I'm living a life now. I'm living a life, man, that, again, I couldn't dream of. You know, been blessed, truly been blessed. You know what I mean? I think about, and I done been all over the world. I don't look like it, but trust me, I've been all over the world. And there's no place I'd rather be than right here. Right now, you broke the chair, man. Watching this sunrise, you know what I mean? You know, I'm a Philadelphia fan, and I was at the 50-yard line at the Super Bowl. But it don't compare to this here. Sitting here looking at that sunrise, knowing that I'm right where I need to be, where I'm supposed to be, and where I want to be. I mean, you can't put a price tag on that. You know, this thing blows you away. You know, and I'm not the best speaker in the world. You know what I mean? I try to lead this program to the best of my ability. I got my sponsor up there in the room with my grandson. I kind of jumped in as a direct result of Rally. I wasn't prepared to come up here. You know what I mean? But it's been a pleasure just to share a little bit. You know, just to let somebody know, man, that I don't care what kind of, man, if you can dream it, you can do it. You can do it. You know, when I was laying in them prisons 15 years ago, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, you couldn't have told me, man, that, you know, that I would be standing up here right now, you know, talking about how good my life is and how I'm living today. You know, give you an example, I went to settlement on my 20th property last week. A dope fiend. Dope fiend like me. You know what I mean? And they had no desire, understanding, none of that, you know, buying real estate. And I just went to settlement on my 20th property. And I'm sharing that to give somebody some hope. Because I had problems sharing about a lot of the good things that happened in my life, you know. And I'm a landlord because that's what I wanted to be. That's what I wanted to be, you know. And, you know, just to keep on going with the meeting, what I'm going to do, we got about 10 more minutes. And I know it's a lot of people out here who dreams have come true in their life, too. So what I'm going to do is ask somebody else to come up. I ain't playing it. I ain't picking it. Anybody want to come up and share these last 10 minutes, you're more than welcome to. You know what I mean? It's not a planned thing. It don't matter who it is. Because I can't go either. I ain't going to try to go. I'd give it to somebody else. Thanks for letting me share. You coming up here, right?